Monday night travel on Nightlife.
If you think of Australian rail travel, we've got a couple of big ticket trips, obviously. I mean, there's the Ghan and there's the Indian Pacific. But outside of those, much of the country is covered by railways that don't quite have the same glamour factor. But you know what? They are there, excluding much of the northern part of Western Australia. You probably don't think so much of travelling by rail these days because of the roads and highway system. Many of their smaller railway lines, in fact, survive only thanks to tourism. Lines such as Coranda's Scenic Railway in Queensland, or think of the Puffing Billy in Victoria, or the Pitchy Richie Railway in the Flinders Ranges. So, if you wanted to set out on an expedition around Australia by rail, well, there are options, although you might need to catch a bus or two in places in between. My guest tonight has completed a journey by rail. He started in Normanton in the Gulf Country of Western Queensland. He went all the way back to Perth in Western Australia via the East Coast, riding some of the smallest tourist trains as well as the bigger, more popular commuter routes. And Tim Richards joins me now with some tips for you on travelling around the country by rail. I bet you thought you couldn't do it. Anyway, he's just released a book about his trip called Heading South. Tim, good evening and welcome to Nightlife.
Thanks for having me.
Well, great to have you with us. Clickety-clack and all that. How many kilometres did you cover in total?
Well, the actual trip was about just under, I think, 7,000. And then I went back for the epilogue and went on the Savannah Lander, which was a train I missed because of the wet season. So once you add that on from Cairns to Forsyth and return, it was pushing 8,000 kilometres. So it's a fair stretch.
Yeah, I'm guessing a lot of people listening think, oh, well, you can't really travel around Australia by train anymore because, you know, they've all been closed or supplanted by highways. Some of that is true, isn't it? But a lot of it is not.
Well, they still exist, yeah. And I think I mentioned in the introduction to the book that there's a website called railmaps.com.au. It's just this rail fan's website where he has his own maps of various rail trips you can do around Australia. It's just a hobby kind of thing, I think. And I was glancing at that, and it's the only sort of place you can see all Australia's railways in one place. And I went, wonder what the longest journey is you could do on passenger rail. And I had a look and you could see that these rails mostly still link up and I could go all the way from far north Queensland down to southwest Western Australia, just with one little gap between the first two trains. But otherwise, you know, just changing as you go. So you can do it. Yeah.
Yes. In fact, that's right. In fact, I mean, apart from, well, there's the Northern Territory, obviously, and the North... The north of Western Australia is not very rail-friendly for commuters, at least, is it?
No passenger rail there. I mean, the Northern Territory has the GAN, of course, but the thing is it's a mix now. The trains I went on, there were eight trains, including the Savannah Lander in the epilogue, and they're a mix of government-run trains that have been there for decades, small quirky tourist trains like the Gulf Lander and luxury trains like the Indian Pacific. So there's a more of a mix now rather than them all being, you know, budget oriented trains. Yeah,
that's right. You can still take the east to the west coast train. That's the Indian Pacific, isn't it? That still goes.
Absolutely. I mean, what you've got to realise though, it is now what they call a rail cruise, right? So in 2016, they got rid of the economy seats. The federal government stopped subsidising economy on long distance rails. So from then it got transformed into a purely luxury tourist train. So you can do it, but it's not cheap, but it's a lovely journey. I've been on the Indian Pacific seven times. I was on it earlier this year when the first one to run between Perth and Sydney for a year. And it's a beautiful train. Everything's included, the drinks, the food, the tours, the accommodation, obviously.
Right.
So, but that's quite different, obviously, from how it started in 1970 when it was really meant as public transport across the country and across the continent.
That's right. As a way to get from one side to the other at reasonable cost. It's not a transport train anymore, is it? It's an experience train.
Yeah, north to south, though, you've got the Spirit of Queensland from Cairns to Brisbane. You've got the XPT trains, Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne. Those are regular public transport type trains run by governments with public transport type fares. And even the overland, which is run by the same people who run the Indian Pacific, the Melbourne to Adelaide train, that is subsidised by the Victorian government. And you can buy just a regular Yeah.
Thank heavens, because we did a story, I remember, last year about that, about how they were going to close it.
Oh, it's always dangling by thread.
Seemed insane. I mean, here is this perfectly great piece of track and great piece of public infrastructure, public transport, and they were going to close it. It was just madness. But anyway, it's still open, but as you say, it's an argument between Victoria and South Australia, isn't it?
South Australian government is the villain here. They're the ones who don't want to put any money into it whatsoever.
Okay.
And they don't even have any regional rail in their state, whereas the Victorian government has been the white knight here and has put money in to keep it ticking over. Mm. So let's hope that those two governments will come to some agreement.
Exactly, yes. Well, that's true. South Australia doesn't have much of a rail network, does it?
No, if you don't count the Indian Pacific and the GAN and the overland, which are all private trains, there is no passenger rail outside Adelaide.
No, you can't catch a train to the Flinders Ranges or anything like that, for example.
Sadly, no. Sadly. There are some nice tourist trains, though, like the Pitchy Ritchie Railway and the Cockle train. But other than that, no.
I've caught a very picturesque train from Goolwa to Victor Harbour, I seem to
remember. Yeah, that's the one. Yes, the Cockle train. I haven't been on that, actually. Yeah. That's a little treat I am keeping for myself.
No, that's a beauty. I've been with my girls on that when they were young many times. It's all aboard with coal. Anyway, let's all aboard now, because we're going to focus on the first half of the trip. You went all the way to Perth. But let's go from Normanton to Melbourne. The first train you took was the Gulflander. Mm. Now, where did this take you from and to? And you better tell us a bit about Normanton for those who don't know it too.
This is great for me. It was a great place to start the journey because I hadn't been there before. And Normanton is just pure Aussie outback. It's not a real tourist hub. It's way out in the Gulf Country. So I took a bus 10 hours from Cairns west to get to it. And it was founded as a town that they thought would grow to be the next Darwin. In fact, it is the town that Neville Shute based a town like Ellis on.
Right.
He calls it Willstown in the book, but this is Normanton he was thinking of. And it was, you know, founded with great things in mind, but it never quite got there. It's still a little town of 1,200 people that's a service town, basically, for the cattle industry in the region. And so it is just your everyday rough around the edges kind of outback town with a couple of interesting pubs and so on. It's got some interesting history, actually. And this train came from there in the 1890s. There was a gold rush in a small town called Croydon, which is easterly from there. And they built this train line and it goes from Normanton to Croydon. So a town of about 1,200 people to a town of about 500 people. And it is rightly often called the train from nowhere to nowhere.
And what do you do when you get to Croydon?
You have a drink at the pub, you stay overnight, and you go back on the train the next day. But Croydon is nice because Croydon obviously was a gold rush town. The gold didn't last that long, but there's still some lovely architecture there from that, you know, outback gold rush period. So, but the train's been running the entire time from around 1891 because it could get through floods. They have a lot of floods up that way. And the special rails, special sleepers that were designed to hold the rails down, stopped them from getting washed away in floods. And so it was always a practical train right up until they had all-weather roads fairly recently.
Hmm.
And suddenly the all-weather roads meant that tourists could drive on these all-weather roads and come and ride on the train. So it made a kind of transition without even noticing from being public transport to, I guess, a popular tourist attraction.
Hmm. Okay, so that's right. The Gulflander does have, as you said, hollow steel sleepers.
They're really arched. They're often using some of the same sleepers that they have done for that century and a quarter. They're really sort of these arched steel sleepers. In those days, sleepers were normally timber. But the problem with the Gulf countries, full of termites, right? Termites love timber.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way these arch, they sink down into the earth and they kind of hold the rails there. So when there was a flood, it was less likely to wash the whole thing away. It would sort of stick where it was. The train could even run in about sort of 15 centimetres of water. And very useful. And so they stay there. And the only problem is, of course, having been on it now, it is one of the most jolting, jumpy, bumpy rides you have ever had in your life. I mean, really, it's after 5 hours of that, you've
had enough.
Oh, well, you're rattling away. It's beautiful countryside, though. I went then right in the end of the wet season when hardly anyone sane is on there because it's so easy for the trains to be cancelled, and mine always was. But because it was the wet season, it was much greener than usual, and we had a lot of animal life, a lot of bird life. Really a lovely five-hour run on this train, on this strange little train. So I really enjoyed it.
I'm talking with Tim Richards, and we're taking a trip around Australia by rail. We've been on the Golflander, which goes from Normanton to Croydon. Actually, you never went there, but there's a very significant site related to Burke and Wills not far from Normanton, isn't there?
Yes, I was hoping to get there because I wanted to mention Burke and Wills and explore as a sort of part of the theme of the book, and I do. But their last camp before they actually reached the Gulf, because as you recall, they were trying to go north to south from Melbourne across the continent. Camp 119 from memory, they marked each camp as they went. It's about 45 k's from Normanton, the actual site, and there's a marker there, a historic marker and so on. And I was quite interested in this, but unfortunately, because I was there at the end of the wet season, it suddenly started raining quite heavily. It had actually been quite dry up to then. It was just too muddy to get to because it's off-road. So that was a pity, but at least I started close to where they were. There's a lot of Burke and Wills connections up there.
Mm. All right. Now, we had to skip the Savannah Lander. After we've gone on the Golf Lander, where does the Savannah Lander go from?
Savannah Lander goes from Cairns. Each week it leaves Cairns once a week. It goes from Cairns out through the Atherton Tablelands, and then it runs along what used to be two mining lines, which take it out through the Savannah to a little town that used to be a town called Forsyth, and it goes back.
Right. Okay, but once you got to Croydon, you went back to Normanton, then basically you have to, then you got to drive back to Cairns or get back to Cairns.
I got on the bus. Yes. Yeah. Because unfortunately the train, Savannah Lander, its route was shortened because of flooding. I got on the bus. I had a ticket on the plane just in case as well. But I got on the bus, got back to Cairns, and I was feeling a bit, down and despondent. But then I thought, no, this is all right. I'll get on the Cairns to Brisbane train, the Spirit of Queensland, and I'll be back in the running again. But unfortunately, the road got flooded between Cairns and Townsville. So it was nightmarish. But I suppose this gave us a sort of flavour of how you are not in charge of the weather in a tropic city. And so I eventually flew down to Townsville, and then I took the trains from there.
All right. So that's right. But the Spirit of Queensland does go from Cairns down to Townsville and then onwards, does it?
Right to Brisbane.
Yeah. Right all the way to Brisbane. Okay. So what sort of train is this? Is this a transport train or a tourist train?
It's a state government public transport train. It's very new. It ran, as I recall, started about the start of 2015. It's a brand new train. It replaced what was called the Sunlander, which took about pushing 40 hours to get from Cairns to Brisbane. This takes 25 hours. It's a much faster trip, so obviously overnight. And it's a brand new train. You've got, sort of little movie screen backs on the back of the chairs. You've got movie screens. You've got, in train catering if you're in the sort of sleeper class, like on a plane. There's a little cafe. So it's quite a modern, up-to-date train, quite a different sort of train from the point of view of a sleeper train. Now, you don't have the compartments that you would have on your...
What do you do these days if you want to have a sleeper?
Well, this one is two classes. So it's premium economy, which is sit up in normal seats, right? And then they've got what they call a rail bed class. And they got these things specifically built for them. They're very much like a business class sort of pod seating in an aircraft.
Right.
Where you sit there during the day, and at a set time, the staff member comes along and they use a little electronic gadget, and it folds forward the seat that turns it into a flat bed. And so, but the only problem is, you're sort of all sharing the same cabin, so you're all sharing the snoring and so on. But it is nice lying in the direction of travel. You do sort of get jostled around a bit less, and the beds are quite comfortable. So, it's a different way of looking at a sleeper. I prefer the old compartments myself, but I'm a bit of a traditionalist.
Yeah, all right. Now, down to Brisbane, then Brisbane to Sydney.
That's your classic XPT. Those trains are just about the end of their life. They were brought in the early 80s or thereabouts. So they've been running about 40 years. They've got some replacements coming up, I believe. But those have they've got sleeper compartments of the old school. There's two kind of bunk beds you share with someone else of the same gender you haven't met potentially, unless you're sharing with a partner or friend or whatever. And there's a little bathroom between each two compartments where we can have a shower, and they give you a quite strange bit of catering as well for breakfast and so on. And otherwise they sit up on board. But so those trains run, you know, day, there's usually a day and a night, one each day between Melbourne and Sydney. And the Brisbane one leaves at some insane hour. 4 a.m. it was that I was on.
It left at 4 a.m.
Left at 4 a.m. It's insane because the sleeper comes in from Sydney and arrives at something like 3:45 a.m. or whatever the time is. And that's nuts because sleepers should be timed to arrive around, say, 6:30 or something, so you can get on the local transport. But I've heard about tensions between New South Wales and Queensland Railways, and Queensland Rail wanting to keep this train out of their station during peak hour and things like that, during commuter train hours. So we'll see what happens because the Roma Street station in Brisbane is getting a big refurb at the moment. I don't know if that will change things. But anyway, it's nuts. So you're on there at 4 a.m. The only good thing about
So what time do you arrive in Brisbane, in Sydney?
Oh, it's a good 14 hours. So it's, what is that, about 6 p.m.?
6 p.m.
Yeah, it's a long run. It's a big country, yeah. So, yeah, it's, but I had a whole compartment to myself that day. And so it's, at least it was comfortable. Unfortunately, they don't have a sort of any cafe seating on the XPT train. So you can walk down to the cafe and buy a snack, which you can't chat to anyone. I really do like the social aspect of trains. It's something that's different from an aircraft where you're sort of stuck in one seat, more or less. You know, you can wander around the train and chat to people, especially if there's some sort of seating area for eating. And they're missing those on the XPT. So, you know, otherwise it's not a bad run. I napped for a couple of hours, woke up about 6:30 a.m. just as we were hitting the New South Wales-Queensland border.
Yeah.
And the Border Ranges National Park, most beautiful place at sunrise. It was absolutely gorgeous. I'd never been through there before. And I just went, oh, God, like, you know, and I had so many of those landscape moments during the whole trip.
The Border Ranges is just an amazing place. Yes, it really is.
Yeah. Really beautiful. Just these lovely sort of crinkly folded mountains with this grass and fog hanging over them early in the morning. It was really delightful. And I just had so many moments like that where I think, when you're going around the continent, the nature is always changing, the climate, the scenery. And so, you know, you're really struck by that as you move along.
So basically from Cairns, you can travel all the way down to Sydney continuously on the train.
Oh, and to Melbourne, because you go on to Melbourne and on to Adelaide, if you like, and on to Perth, yeah.
Which we'll talk about next time. All right, lovely. Clickety-clack. Till next time, Tim. Good on you.
Okay, no problem.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.